chapter number 6. We're just going to continue on in our study in the Sunday morning series here in the book of Acts. We're looking at the church here in the early church, the book of Acts, the study of the history of the church. And these are the blueprints of the church. And if you want to know what church is supposed to be like, let's go to the Bible. Let's study what the Word of God says, how church is supposed to happen. What is supposed to take place? What is supposed to take place here in our church? And I want it to look like the book of Acts. So let's all stand together. Acts chapter number 6. There in the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels. And then right after the Gospels, you have this next book called the book of Acts. It's a book of action. It's a book of action. We've been in a series I've entitled The Church on the Move. The Church on the Move. It starts in Jerusalem, and then you find it all throughout the known world when you get to the end of the book. And Jose, I see you, Jose. I'm glad you're here this morning, man. I know sometimes you can't make it on Sunday mornings. And yes, sir. And I know you can only sometimes come on Sunday nights. I happened to see you back there. I thought, hey, I'm glad you're able to make it on a Sunday morning, buddy. Good to see you here this morning. All right, Acts chapter 6. We're just going to have a personal conversation right now, me and Hayes. Okay, I'll talk to Jeffrey and Maggie back here. Acts chapter 6, look at me, verse number 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What business was this talking about? Serving tables. It means getting food out, helping folks to have for the needy, we could say. The widows obviously would be a group that would have that kind of a need and to be able to give them food so that they could obviously be blessed in that way. And so this business, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. In these two men, you'll see later on in the scriptures, they're used greatly by God, Philip and Stephen, and Portucus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You notice the verses 1 through verse 7. Verse 1, disciples are multiplying. In between the two, there's a problem. Today, we're going to study the solution, the answer, how they handled the problem, and how they did that. Look what God did after that. They multiplied again. Satan is going to try to attack the church any way he can, and yet God can use his attacks, turn it, twist it, and bring about glory to God and bring about good, and others can also get saved and from a situation that obviously could have been very, very bad. So we're going to look at this again today. Growing Pains, part 2. Amen. And I want to finish up where we were at last week and get into the message this morning. And we have a special. Amen. We have a special. And looking forward to hearing y'all sing as well. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get to be here again, Lord, in church. I do pray that your word, Lord, would find a good place in our hearts. It would sink down, Lord, into our hearts and our lives. And it would grow. Lord, help us to learn from the story here in Acts chapter 6. As we're really going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, just going through this wonderful book called the book of Acts. And help us, Lord, give us understanding, give us wisdom. Lord, because problems like this can happen in our church. There's murmuring going on. Lord, there's division and dissension. And God, it just doesn't look like a lot of good things happening right now. But Lord, look how, God, you gave wisdom to the leadership there, Lord, unity among the people. And God, you blessed. And the disciples were multiplied. Even after a problem, after an issue, God, you can still do something great. Yes, you can. And I pray, God, you would help us, Lord, this morning to learn from this situation, to learn from this story. I pray that you would bless the special. Lord, we have been so blessed. Help us, Lord, if anything, when we leave church today, help us to leave with grateful hearts for you, our great God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. And praise the Lord. And the singing and the
choir and the orchestra and that violin special and Miss Rosa with the piano. And so my heart's already full this morning. And I'll be, but I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord. And I hope you are too as well. And now come to the time of preaching. Amen. So keep your Bibles open. Turn to Acts chapter 6. And we're going to use our Bibles a little bit this morning as we get into Acts chapter 6. And I want you to follow along with me as we study this wonderful passage here in the Scriptures. Again, we're going along the theme of growing pains. The church approximately is about 20,000 believers at this time in Acts chapter 6. Chapter number 1, you got 120 believers up in the upper room. But when you get to chapter 6, you got multitudes of people. This is a growing church. This is a mega church, if you could say it that way. In our terms today, it's a very big church, very large church. And they've multiplied. There's many, many, many people that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they've become disciples. They've become followers. They've been baptized. They're part of the church, the local church there in Jerusalem. And God's no doubt doing a great thing here, but we find in verse number 1 that there's murmuring taking place, and that there's a little bit of a dissension, division taking place among the Grecians and among the Hebrews. And I don't want to go too much into the background there like we did last week, but you got the Greek Jews, you got the Hebrew Jews, and there were some differences there. And the Greek Jews felt like their widows were being neglected. Their widows were being overlooked. And they were looking at the Hebrews, and their Jews, their widows, and that they're being taken care of. And they got food, and they got themselves taken care of. And they're looking at the leadership, and they're thinking, well, this is not fair. And so there's murmuring taking place. And they're complaining. We talked about complaining last week. And so they're talking to so-and-so about their issue and the problem. They're talking to so-and-so, and they're just kind of passing around. And it's not really doing much good at all. It's cultural tension that's taking place between these two groups of people. We said last week that there's two problems here. There's unmet needs and there's murmuring going on. Unmet needs and there's murmuring going on. I made this statement last week that sometimes unintentional oversights can be perceived as intentional hurts. Sometimes when you didn't catch it, you didn't text back, you didn't email back, you forgot my birthday, you forgot my anniversary, Pastor, and it wasn't on purpose, but even sometimes you can an oversight or an overlook something, and all of a sudden that can be looked at and perceived as that was on purpose. You did it on purpose to me. And that's what you can find here taking place in the early church in Acts chapter number 6. Satan attacks the people of God. He attacks the church of God because he hates God. Now, I remind us this morning, Satan hates the church of God. Satan hates the people of God. If you're saved today, he doesn't like you. He will attack you. He will try to bring you down. He would love to get this church to go down. And we saw in the early part of the church, he attacked it in different ways. How did he attack it? He attacked it with persecution. The government to come and to take the apostles and to lock them up in the prison. You know what happened after that? What'd you find them doing? Back out doing what they were told to do. Preaching the word of God. They were faithful, they were obedient, and God's blessings came. So persecution came to the early church. We also talked about the next one here, corruption. Ananias and Sapphira, they were trying to look like they were being obedient, but they were lying to God, lying to the Holy Ghost. And the Lord allowed Peter to see it, and he called it out. There was corruption inside the church, and God immediately dealt with it in a very memorable way, where he dropped dead. And his wife comes in, and she dropped dead. And that brought great fear among the people. Like, yeah, you don't mess with God. You don't lie to God. You tell him the truth. You're honest. Honesty is always the best policy. And teens up here in the front row, let me just help you guys pay attention, okay? Please, thank you. Then we see here division. Division taking place in the church. Satan is trying to divide the church and have two sides. We hit this a little bit last week. We have two different teams, two different sides. This side's against that side, and that side's against that side. And y'all don't like these people because you sat on this side. And y'all don't like those people because you sat on that side, right? No, it's not right, okay? Hopefully that's not the case. Satan would love that to happen here. He'd love for a mom and a dad, the parents to be at odds with each other. He'd love for siblings to be at odds with each other. He'd love for teens in our youth group to be at odds with each other, for that to be divided and for it to be contention and strife and frustration and for there to be just anger at each other and murmuring against each other. What's going to happen? It's going to break it up. Even Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. I find here in Acts chapter 6, these guys who were personally trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. I find here they have a little bit of a mess on their hands. Can I tell you right now, that was not a perfect church. Do you know the church there in Jerusalem was not a perfect church? Do you know there's not a perfect church here in America or in the world? Say, I'm looking for a perfect church. Well, don't go there. You might mess it up. I mean, where's that perfect church at? There ain't no perfect church. But I find here a model church. I find here how they dealt with the issue. We can learn from them and say, you know what? This is how we can respond when there are issues in the church that can bring division to us. So what's the answer? The church is growing. More people are being added. Hey, praise the Lord. Guess what? Problems now. Problems are being added to the church. How do we handle this? What do we do? Will they put in the extra hours to get the job done? I mean, you know, their widows are being neglected. So come on, Peter. I know you're working, 14-hour days. Let's bump it up a couple extra hours. You need to work a little extra harder there, Peter. John, the apostles here, you guys got more. Put in more time. There's more people. You got to put more on your plate. Would they hire somebody from the outside? Would they take a time management class to better organize their time? Would they read a book on management? Would they read a book on how to get more things done in a day? You know, I mean, you got widows who are being neglected. I mean, come on, you got to serve them too. Will they sacrifice other responsibilities for the sake of this one? Look at me in chapter 6, verse 2. Then, y'all with me there? Look at me in the Bible, chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. The first response here I find in the scripture after there's an issue in the church is that they do this. They say, all right, let's hit it head on. They didn't tiptoe around the tulips. They didn't lollygag around the lilies. They didn't walk on eggshells. They didn't act like there's no elephant in the room. No, they said there's a problem in the church right now. We got to hit it head on. There's an issue. Let's deal with it. And they got the church together. They got everybody together in the church. Say, hey, folks, listen right now. We got to deal with this. I said this last week, but let me remind you right now, there's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than me. It is God, and it is God's purpose. It is God's plan. It's Christ and the salvation that he can bring to people. And we got to understand, we can't let something like widows not getting food, to let that be the thing that would bring and split a church. Divide where the Grecians have their church and then the Hebrews have their church. I'm sorry, folks. We are all the church. Yeah. One way is through Christ and Christ alone. And they hit it head on. The apostles were already serving tables. They were already serving. They were already working, but they realized they can't do it all. And it would be wrong for any leader of a church or a pastor to feel like he has to do it all. Because if a pastor takes on that role of, I do everything, and I'm the one that does this, and I'm the one that does that, eventually he's going to get burned out. Burned out is something that does take place in the ministry sometimes, unfortunately. I want to thank the Lord for those who have helped, and many have helped in our church. And I came here already, a working church, and so many of you have served in different ways. And okay, the rummage sale, that's one right there. The Thanksgiving service coming up on Saturday, or the Christmas. I mean, even what you just step after church here this morning, just kind of be a fly on the wall somewhere. Just kind of step back, watch all the folks that get up and start helping and serving, and got these group of kids over there, got those group of kids over there, and they're laboring and working and serving. I'll tell you right now, this Christmas practice, this Christmas musical play, it could not happen if it was all me. It'd be a mess. Kids wouldn't know the song. Kids wouldn't have verses memorized. I would be cook. I mean, the kids would be getting like, you know, bag of chips. There you go. That's your lunch. Well, where's the hot dog? I didn't have time to do it. I had to teach you guys. I had to teach your parts. I can't do it all, nor should I think I can do it all. I'm grateful for the training of many of you that God has given to you through Pastor Cruz and others, maybe other churches that you've been part of in the past that have given you opportunities to serve the Lord and where you've grown in your faith and being able to serve the Lord. But I know this for myself, that I cannot make this church my everything. I'm asking my wife, my girls to come on up here if you don't mind. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I also am a father. I'm also a husband. And I've got responsibilities with this. Yes, I'm a pastor, and I'm responsible for this church. I'm responsible to lead Coronado Baptist Church. And I don't think God would ask me to take upon this ministry, take upon this church, and me all by myself try to see if I can handle everything. I'll tell you right now, I can't. And my responsibility, yes, is to lead this church. I am to lead, feed, and intercede. Amen. I am to lead you as an example in Christ. I am to feed you the Word of God. I am to pray for you as your pastor. I'll tell you right now, though, I'm also a father. I'm a dad. I'm a papa. And that's a great responsibility. I'm also a husband. And I don't think God would want me to say, put your family aside. I need you to go over here and all by yourself. I tell you right now, I don't think I have to choose between the two. Do I want to be a good husband and a good dad, or do I want to be a good pastor? I don't think that's the choice. I can be both. I can be a good pastor. I can be a good husband. I can be a good papa, a good dad. Can I tell you right now? Because y'all can always get another pastor, but they can't get another papa, and she can't get another husband. And so I have this responsibility in my life. And I want to do a good job with it. I want to love them. I want to lead them. We have fun. We have game. We're playing. What game? I don't know. We're playing Skip-Bo. Y'all know Skip-Bo? Dutch Blitz. And then they got this new Uno game. Have y'all ever played Uno Flip? Y'all know Uno Flip? Oh, man. When you all of a sudden flip the cards, it's a whole new game. It's like, what just happened on us? You know what I'm saying? Uno Flip. I mean, we play games. We go on trails. We do things together as a family. I want to have a great marriage. I want to have a great family. I want to serve God with my family. But I'll tell you right now, they're serving tables, and they realize we can't do everything. We need help. I'll tell you right now, folks, if we didn't have the workers for the Christmas musical, we wouldn't have a Christmas musical because I couldn't do that. If we didn't have the help for a Thanksgiving meal, if folks don't say, I can help, I can serve, guess what? My wife and I by ourselves, we can't do this. Rummage sale, I couldn't have done that all by myself. What I'm saying here today is, you know what? We need help. We need workers. We need laborers. There's something for you to do here at our church. And I love you guys. And I don't want you to ever feel that your dad or your husband had to make a choice and that I chose the ministry over you. God's called me to be your pastor, and I praise the Lord I get to pastor you. But I'm not going to lose my kids, and I'm not going to lose my wife because I'm a pastor. I want to do both. I want my family, hey, let us serve the Lord together. And I want my kids to grow up saying, man, it's awesome serving God. I want young people, it's awesome serving God. Live your life for Jesus. And I want my kids, man, this is great. I want them growing up someday when they go on their own, whatever God has for their life, they'll look at their childhood and go, my dad was a pastor, but I'll tell you what, man, it was great. I had a wonderful family. I love, man, my dad, he always had time for us. And I want that to be true. And I want that to be that my kids know dad's got time for me. I don't want it to be dad's at the church and dad's always busy and he never has time for me. I don't want that to be said because I think I can have both. I can be here at the church. I can be available, but I also can be their papa and I can also be her. I was going to say it wrong. Okay? Her husband. Amen. All right. Y'all be seated. Thank you. Give them a hand. I love my family. Love my kids, my wife. I read this week. Listen, this is humorous. Okay, let me add some humor here. This is good. The results of a computerized survey indicate that the perfect pastor preaches exactly 15 minutes. Well, I already broke that one. He condemns sin but never upsets anyone. He works from 8 a.m. to midnight and is also the janitor. He makes $50 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books, drives a good car, and gives about $50 weekly in the offering. He is 28 years old, and he has been preaching for 30 years. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all of his time with the senior citizens. The perfect pastor smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls daily to church families, shut-ins, and the hospitalized. He spends all of his time door-knocking and is always in his office when needed. The perfect pastor. What I'm finding here in Acts chapter 6, the church is growing, and those disciples realize, I'm just one person. We're just 12. We're 12 apostles. We're limited. We can't do everything. And for me to try to do everything, I'm going to drop the ball on something I'm supposed to do. Say, what are you supposed to do? What I'm supposed to do is spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. I can't say, oh, I don't have time to pray. I'm out serving food. I can't read the Bible. I'm serving food. No, the problem is, you know what? We need help. And this is where I find, and here's the solution. It is servant membership. Okay, folks, that's right now. You didn't become a member of this church so you can hear sermons. Although when you come to church, I'm going to preach. But you know right now, there's some folks over there, they're not hearing preaching right now. Now, Lord knows they need it. Amen. Okay. They're not hearing preaching right now. What they're doing over there, junior church, their nursery, their story hour. They got the 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, you know, and they're probably taped upside down on the wall. Who knows what happened to them? But that's the workers I'm talking about. But you know, over there right now, there's workers over there. You know what? Folks are stepping up and saying, what can I do? How can I help? Oh, I can take the nursery. I could change a diaper. I can work with these kids here. I could be in junior church. I can lead a song. Hey, I can help kids. Go, come on, follow me, kids. You're going to follow me? You know what? I can have a part in this church right here. Tell you right now, this church is here for you to serve. Fine. Hey, there's seats in here. Praise God. But you know what? Don't just be a spectator. Be a participant. There's something for you. Hey, choir, you saw, we got some room up here. We can add some more choir members. We got some room over here. We can add some more orchestra folks over here. Hey, we have a pianist, Miss Rosa. Now we have Reese. Amen. We got Reese playing. And over there, hey, PA booth. Calling you out there, Brother Bailey. Yeah, we can use some more help up there. Hey, we need some more greeters over there in front of the church. We have some parking lot greeters, folks to be there when you first pull in. Hey, welcome to Coronado. We're so glad you're here. First time? Okay, let me show you where to go. Can I do all that? No, I can't. And they realize we can't do it all. You know, they said, call from some among you to help with this work, with this business. And they did. They called out among them, and we see those names there. They were honest men, full of the Holy Ghost, as it describes for us in verse number 5. And these were good men. These were good people that stepped up to help for the work and the cause of Jesus Christ. And then I also find here not just servant membership, but I also find here spiritual leadership. I see here leaders that said, listen, we have got to spend time with the Lord. We've got to be healthy, spiritually speaking. I can't run on E. You don't want a pastor that runs on E. I want my tank full. I got to take time. And by the way, I pray for you. My job as your pastor is to pray for you. My job as your pastor is to feed the Word of God. But you know, that takes time. I've learned, if there's anything I've learned as a pastor, it's a lot of study. It's a lot of time alone and just getting in the Word of God and praying and thinking about your marriages, your families, your relation, and just like, Lord, I want to be a blessing. How can I help my people? How can I help your people? To be a faithful pastor to the Word of God. It takes time. It takes time. Look at me, verse number 7. We're going to wrap this up here. Verse number 7, you find here, and the Word of God increased. Satan, he attacked it with persecution, and the disciples grew. He attacked it through corruption, and the number of the disciples grew. And now he's attacking it again. Division. We don't like so-and-so, and so-and-so doesn't like us. And, yeah, get them. Swing and a miss. And no, what happens here? God uses this situation to bring others in the membership to serve and the disciples to stay on their knees. And the apostles stand on their knees, and the Word of God also still serving, but now they're not having to do it all. And now you see the Word of God increased, and get this, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were added to the faith. You know what that means? There's about 8,000 priests in Jerusalem at this time. A great company, a great number. How many is that? I don't know, a couple thousand? 3,000? Could you imagine? This would be like Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, this would be like Orthodox Jews coming to this church and they're all putting their faith in Jesus Christ. How incredibly awesome would that be? How amazing for Seventh-day Adventists to turn from a false religion, a cult, of not Bible teaching, not Bible preaching, but to turn from that and to trust Christ and Christ alone as their Savior. How incredibly awesome would it be to see people coming and turning from their traditions and from their unbelief to belief in Christ. That's what's happening here. How can that happen? I'll tell you how that can happen. When a church has unity. You got to see it again. Hold on. I close my Bible. Acts 6. Look at me. Look at the unity here. We're going to be done. The Bible says here, verse number 5, and this saying pleased the whole multitude. Do you see the unity here? They're all like, we're with you, preacher. We're with you, apostles. Man, it's a great idea. We've never heard that before, but hey, you know, we got Timon there. We got Nicholas there and Philip there. Hey, these guys are good guys. Hey, you guys are full of the Holy Ghost. Honest rapport. We know you tell the truth. Get up there. You guys help us in our church. A change took place for the Bible to go forward, for more to hear. And more trusted Christ. What an incredible time to be part of a church, of God growing His church. Folks, as the Lord adds to our church, there will be problems. There's going to be issues. We got to hit it head on. We got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, we need your help. But we got to be unified as a church. Unified as a church when problems do come. Last thing I think any of us would want to see is that a church to divide and to split. We got to be unified. And what keeps us unified is Christ at the center of this church, by the way, and in our own individual lives. Christ at the center. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all go to the Lord right now in prayer. Father, we need you, Lord. We thank you.